All right, now it's time to go into the cloud here, and even
bring
more.
Bring in the hooligans.
That's right, and talk about all kinds of very, very exciting things. And Mike, we haven't heard from you guys in a while in reference to new innovation or new products. And I know the Cerro network is still going strong. I hear from people that are still using it and taking advantage of those services. And now you have a new company, right?
We do. The name of the company is Numa Solutions, and Matt and I are together again. I'm in the presence of greatness, all this Microsoft folks around, you and Saqib and formerly Matt, and I'll let Matt speak to that for himself. But Matt, Cerotech kind of wound down as we knew it would. I kind of did some soul searching and said, you know, am I still relevant? Is there still something that I can contribute to our community? I just didn't know exactly what my role was going to be in this new normal where we're working with consumer products and, you know, mainstream consumer products. And as we started looking into things, Matt is my partner in crime, and Saqib said something earlier that's so true. When a blind person can find someone that can do, and we can articulate to that person what we'd like to do, but we don't have the ability ourselves to do it, and they can. And that has always been, Matt and I have been interviewed before, and I think, I forget who said it, but maybe it was me, maybe someone else, but I'm the dreamer, he's the doer. And Matt is just an incredible partner to work with. He's an amazing developer, and I don't need to tell anybody here that. I'm just excited about where we're going. The offering that we're doing now at Numa is, well, we are basically providing what we call accessible cloud solutions. Back in 2011, I wrote a book called Cloudy with a Chance of Profit, and it was talking about the cloud. And I felt back then that, man, the cloud is our future. And what is this cloud thing? And as we all now know what the cloud is, but as blind folks, the cloud kind of worked for us, but there was nothing kind of being done exactly for us until like seeing AI and other things came around. And I started applying my thought process, saying, what are we going to do here? And one of the things that really bothered me was the accessibility of content online, as of course all of us have that problem,
specifically documents.
Yes, and printable documents, I guess. And as we looked at documents, we said, man, it's so hard to read some stuff, and then it's even harder to convert it to alternative formats. So what we developed to start with was a technology that you could upload a number of document formats, PDF, DocX, and a bunch of other ones, up to the cloud, and it would then automatically convert it into Braille, large print, MP3, DAISY, EPUB, and a bunch of things in multiple languages. And we called the product Scribe. So we started looking at it, and we started, once the product was probably done around January of last year, February, and we started looking at where we could apply it. And one of the most important places that we realized was in California, a number of documents were taken offline because they were not able to make the 2.6 million documents accessible in the 2 years that the courts gave them to do it. So after making about 13,000 documents accessible in 2 years at the tune of $6 million, we came and said, hey, we could do a lot of those documents very quickly using cloud services, thusly cutting down on the time a lot. And the accuracy is about 96%, so which is not too far off the 99%, because there's no such thing as 100% accessible, that the courts demanded. So off I was going to CSUN to pitch this to whoever I could find from the state of California. And we all know what happened in March. And so Corona notwithstanding, I stayed home in Florida in lockdown. Matt stayed in Washington in lockdown working at Microsoft and just kind of said, oh my God, you know, let's see how long this lasts and see what we're going to do. And Matt and I started talking and I said, you know, Matt, one of the biggest challenges that we have right now is this remote teaching and remote support of students. And we said we should give this technology away to teachers. And that's what we did. So we created a product offering called Scribe for Education, which is absolutely free to teachers of the visually impaired K-12. And that was cool, but it still created a problem. And this is the problem that the product we're here to talk about today solves. And the problem is very simple. How many times have any of us been sitting in a presentation and we've been either given the slides that are going to be shown on the screen and we, you know, 5 minutes before the meeting, and we need to figure out the entire slide deck and then assimilate from what the presenter is saying where they are in the slide deck and what they're saying? If not, we've got to be that blind person that's saying, can you tell me the slide number you're on? Can you tell me where you are here? And just disrupt. And it just makes you feel like the odd man out, you know? What this product does is it allows the presenter to upload their slides as little as 5 minutes before the meeting. And not only will the Scribe technology make the inaccessible slides WCAG 2.1 compliant HTML, but then it will present them in a web page on the screen in HTML. They're seeing exactly what the slideshow is showing. And Jeff, I don't know, I didn't have a chat place that we could plug the URL into, but I am able to, if somebody wants to share their audio, I can do the presenter side and somebody else can do the attendee side. And I have a URL that will not work after today, but it will work for now. And that is scribeformeetings.com/ACB. Again, that's scribeformeetings.com/ACB. So basically what's going to happen is when Jeff or whoever, anybody goes into the presentation, we have the Scribe bot, which is going to join this webinar. And what it does is it looks at the screen and says, hey, he's showing slide one. So show slide one in the HTML. Boom. Hey, he's showing slide three. So show that one. Oh, he's back to slide one. Show that one. And as that happens, the visually impaired attendee will be able to participate and consume the content at the same time as their sighted peers.
Larry, can you get Jaws to come up on your from your board?
Yep, I'm working on it now.
Scribeformeetings.com/ACB.
By the way, while they're doing that, we are offering this technology absolutely free right now to anybody who wants to use it while it's in beta. And even after that, the prices are going to be very economical. For we're talking to a number of universities right now to implement it for their students. We will be doing meetings and webinars. So basically, we're going to be giving it away to any organization that serves the visually impaired community absolutely free of charge. So there will be no excuse for implementation of this technology by any organization, and that includes AT companies. We definitely want our community to be able to enjoy the technology. And then that is for the webinar side. When it comes out of beta, we're going to be selling the webinars to companies that do not serve the blind necessarily, but will have blind participants or could potentially have blind participants for about $99, which is extremely economical when you look at, you could have up to 10,000 people on one of these webinars.
So tell me a bit about the uploading of the content itself. How, from a security perspective, how are you addressing that?
There's a couple ways that the meeting host can log into the service. The way that we have right now is a passwordless email-based login scheme where you enter your email address and the system emails you a link. You click the link and you're in, and you stay logged in that browser. We're also working on hooking into the single sign-in system that various universities use. so that their professors and even their students can just enter their university email address and be automatically signed in. As far as security, you can protect the content with either an access code that the attendee has to enter before they can get to the web page, or with an access control list where the attendee has to sign in the same way that the meeting host would. And only people on an approved list of attendees or within the organization can access the content. Jeff, does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. I was just kind of concerned about it from a corporate standpoint of just, you know, sharing out sensitive documents.
Well, we don't retain any of that stuff. We purge the meeting content about 6 hours after the meeting is done.
Okay.
And obviously if we have a customer that wants us to purge it faster, you know, that's also, it's also something that can be added to the technology in the future. For right now, we haven't really found a problem with that, but of course, you know, as the technology gets more popular, I mean, look at the Zoom bombing and everything. We learned a lot of lessons there, didn't we?
Oh, absolutely.
Do we got the...
Larry, did you get the page to come up?
It should be Introduction to ACPS.
Yep.
Okay. And the slides are a little inaccessible. So what we're demonstrating here is Scribe's back, you know, the ability for Scribe to create accessible content. Now, if your slideshow is already accessible, hey, that's great. You know, if you've got all your headings and your lists and your bullets and all that stuff done, great. If not, we're going to put that in there. And we are going to also describe images for you as well. So I'm going to jump to the next slide.
Heading level one, answer the following on paper. Lang, what is your name and grade? What should I call you, or what's your preferred nickname? Why are you taking this class? Do you have any previous programming experience?
So I'm going to jump to another slide.
A large whale and a people sitting on a couch under an umbrella graphic. A large whale in a large room with people watching graphic.
Yeah, so if you go to the top of the screen, you can see...
Heading level one is computer science fun. List of two items. Bullet Forbes top 10 job satisfaction list. Bullet CS dominates.
So now, as many presenters will do, I'm going to go back to the beginning.
ACB radio meeting demo scribe for meetings beta. Heading level one, introduction to APCS. Blank.
So you see, that's the first one that we were at,
right
at the beginning. So I can jump down three or why should you learn computer science?
Heading level one, why should you learn computer science? Part of everything we do enhances problem solving and computational thinking. Future opportunities in computing are without boundaries.
This is interesting. So when the page refreshes, because I'm kind of watching it here as it goes here, as the page refreshes, you don't get any sort of, except for a sound, you don't get any alert that the text that where your cursor is changed.
Correct. Yeah, you just get a little bleep, you know, a little bloop. We don't want to interrupt the experience. Again, we're just showing you a web page that is accessible, right. Arias, right?
You guys mentioned a sound effect, and unfortunately, mm-hmm. that's not coming over Zoom because of the intricacies of sound card configuration. I'm sure it's only doing JAWS over Zoom, but Scribe for Meetings is playing a sound effect.
Mm-hmm,
when the content changes.
Larry, let me ask you a question. Do you have multilingual support on your in JAWS going on where if you have a web page that's showing a couple of different languages?
It will do that if you have the
specifically, do you have French or Spanish?
I don't have that installed.
I don't think I have it on, but it is available, yes.
So what we do is if the content is in a different language, we use language detection to mark up the content in that specific language. So if you have it activated in your screen reader, it will actually speak in your native language and combine into various combinations. So we have a slide at the end here.
Heading level one, this is a multilingual slide list of two items. Bullet, this is the Borg. Resistance is futile. To be assimilated in French, press 2. Bullet, Castilian Spanish, esta son los Borg, la resistencia es inútil. List end, a building made of stone graphic. List of one items, bullet, French est le Borg, la resistance estate futile, a grave a similar en anglais, a puis es one. List end, List end.
So obviously he doesn't have Spanish or French text-to-speech installed, but JAWS did indicate what the languages were.
And the cool thing here, I mean, obviously this is a sample deck that we do demonstrations with, but again, the technology is available free of charge at scribeformeetings.com. Go there, use it to your heart's content, share it with people. You kick the tires, send us feedback, all of that.
Now, you're going to be doing some things with other platforms, correct?
Absolutely.
Are you able to talk about that tonight?
Sure. We are fully intending to have Scribe for Meetings work with a number of platforms. The next one that I think we will be doing is Teams. Teams. In fact, I think that Matt left Microsoft. I hope I'm not speaking too much for you, Matt. And if I am, correct me. But
Matt
left Microsoft because we developed this technology, and we felt that it needed to get out right away. And Matt, working on weekends or whenever he had a free moment, just wasn't going to do it. We had made. And we met the deadline of getting this thing out. So when kids came back from Christmas break, it was available and we could start pitching it. And we have shown it to some of the top universities in this country in the last week. And about 10 minutes into the demo, it's where can we send the purchase order? You know, so this is getting great reception. And we've talked to a number of corporate entities that say, well, when you do Teams, you know, we're definitely there. So I'd be really interested, Jeff, in the panel's feedback on this. Because
plus, I promised my former manager and colleagues that I would do team support.
And while you guys talk, my lovely wife just brought me a coffee, and I'm going to drink it while I'm sitting here talking to you guys.
You all have just heard the final experience for an attendee viewing the webpage, but we should. Probably be a good idea to talk through a little bit more about how the meeting host sets it up. So everything starts with going to scribeformeetings.com and entering a meeting invite link. So for Zoom, when someone wants to host a meeting with a slide deck, they go to scribeformeetings.com and they copy and paste the Zoom invite URL. And then we look and we go, oh, that's not in the system yet. Click here to get started as the host. And then it's the whole login procedure that I mentioned before, and you upload your slide deck and then you're good to go. So with Teams, since Teams also has, distinctive, URLs for meetings and for Teams Live, which is their webinar product. I imagine that it would start off full disclosure, I haven't started on this integration yet, but I imagine it would start off the same way.
The UX is going to be as close to what you have now as possible. Obviously the back end stuff and the way we connect to Teams and the way we connect to people's corporate networks and stuff is going to be a little different and probably beyond the scope of today's conversation, but the real magic is in the Scribe bot, which is the one that if you look at the chat, if you look at the attendees list in our meeting right now, you'll see.
Which only us panelists have access to here in the webinar environment.
Yeah. Well, the Scribe for Meetings bot is one of the attendees, and he's just sitting there watching. And he's just saying, oh, he just changed to the homework slide. So it tells the server, hey, go and broadcast that slide for people.
Heading level 1, homework list of 3 items, bullet read chapter 1, section 2, 1.2 for class tomorrow. P.1023 bullet, many of our class examples involve Pokemon. If you don't know much about the game, we advise that you read up on your Pokek knowledge at link http://www.pokemon.com. Bullet, a lot of our examples also draw from the Pokemon games. If you want to up your knowledge on the game's mechanics, rules, underlying formulae and characters, visit link http://linkbulbapedia.bubblegarden.net. List end.
So as you see, it not only does it create accessible HTML, which that was not in the slides. But it also creates the links that you can just click on. It opens up in a new window. You can look at it and then close the window and go back to the, you know, go back to your meeting slides. One of the things that we are going to be implementing soon, very soon, is what I call the DVR mode, which will allow a participant to go backwards in the presentation that I've already shown, or to pause the presentation so that they can look and take notes or whatever, and then continue the presentation wherever it is. Alternatively, as well, the presenter will be able to check a checkbox that will allow the participant to download and save the presentation in Braille, large print, EPUB, DAISY, MP3, tagged PDF, whatever they want, so they can take it and look at it later. And that is, of course, up to the author of the content to do. Our corporate goal is within the next 5 years to create an augmented digital experience that not only does augmented document remediation, which is what the Scribe platform does, but augmented meeting remediation, which is what Scribe for Meetings does. And we're even dreaming as lofty as saying, you know what, in the next 5 years or so, we may be able to create a product that uses machine learning to do audio description on the fly for those frustrating YouTube videos that are just sound and music and no description for us. We have a philosophy for accessibility that is a little different than everybody else's. And that is, we believe in augmented digital remediation. We believe that augmented digital remediation is the future. And I'll tell you why. We have a number of wonderful people that are doing document remediation right now to the tune of about $17 a page. That doesn't scale well. Not to mention the fact that when those people quit or pass away or retire, their knowledge of remediation dies with them or goes with them or retires with them. Machine learning learns, people. So it may be 96% today, but as soon as we start training it with different documents, it'll get to be 97, 98, 99. And soon we'll just have technology that remediates documents on the fly without the author having to know about accessibility. And look, if you want to create a corporate environment where accessibility is at the root of everything, listen, I very much believe that built-in accessibility is better than bolted on. However, that should, your corporate dedication to that should not deny me as a blind person the right to have access to as much information as my sighted colleagues do. And at the current price of document remediation, it really is a decision as to, is this important enough for us to remediate? What we are encouraging our Scribe customers to do is to use our technology and provide a path to human remediation in the interim. And we can do the remediation for them for about $10 a page. Or they can use their own remediation resources to do it and give the document to the person. And then you know what we do? When the human document gets remediated, we go put it back into the model and we say, you know what? You called this two lists and it was only one. You called this a heading level two and it was actually a heading level one. And it remembers. And whenever it sees that kind of document again, it will do it right. These folks are amazing because they spend time and energy in doing a very tedious job, but it's not that complicated. Right. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
It can be taught to a learning model, and we intend to do that. So we want 100% access to 100% of the information, 100% of the time, even if it's 95, 96% correct. If you go to Home Depot, And this is the example I use a lot because I'm a dad and I got a lot of honeydew stuff to do. And we just got new appliances. And if I go to Home Depot and I get an inaccessible PDF, right now either I need to learn a couple of different pieces of software to try and figure out if I can access that PDF or not, or I need to hope that they made a tagged PDF, which most people do not. And when you talk about litigation, if they don't have a PDF that fits my needs, who do I sue? Home Depot, the manufacturer, and that's still not going to solve my immediate problem. So I'd rather say, you know what, Home Depot, here's a piece of HTML that you can embed into your content management system that every time a blind person accesses any PDF on your site. There's a link there that says convert with Scribe or read an accessible version of this document. And the blind person can click that button and get access. And it may not be 100%. And again, we encourage corporates to provide a 100% path, you know, to a path to 100% human remediation, certified human remediation. But if they don't, at least you have the information. And you know what? You have it now.
Yes.
You don't have it when somebody has it ready for you. And that we're selling for $499 a month for one URL for big companies like Home Depot. So don't tell me that they can't pay $499 to make thousands of documents accessible in a matter of minutes.
Wow. Thank you.
Sorry if I sound so excited. I really am. I think that we're sitting in the dawn of an era of digital, you know, of augmented digital remediation that people have only dreamed of. And you know, I don't want to discuss the philosophy, because people that want 100%, you're right, it should be. But that's a utopian view of a world that doesn't exist. And back to the California example, they did an analysis. To do it the way that California is doing it, it will take approximately 400 years and $4 billion to do what California needs to do to make all their information accessible. So you know what California is doing? They're just not putting it up online. And that screws everybody. You, me, and the sighted people too. And I don't want to be responsible for holding sighted people's information. I just want access to the same information they got. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
Makes Rick, sense to me, absolutely.
So help me spread the word, people. Serotech was a lot more philanthropic, a lot more community building. At NUMA, we're here to build a business, and philanthropy will come later. But right now, we're trying to build a business, and we're trying to give as much as we can away, but we still need to make some money. And there's enough of a need out there. There's over 1,000 universities and educational institutions that can use Scribe for meetings. Do the math. At $2,500 a year, that's a lot of money that we can reinvest into this technology. And my dream is ultimately to create server-side tools that will just sit on a server and do this for every website that wants it. Not providing accessibility to the website itself, but to the digital content on it.
Gentlemen, we have about less than 2 minutes left.
Yep.
And we want to thank you both and ask you once more to give your contact information.
Sure. It's pneumasolutions.com. That's pneumasolutions.com. And we have made a commitment not to be on Facebook or Twitter. We don't want the freaking drama. So, you know, please sign up for our email list. Let people know what we're doing. And, you know, hold us accountable, people. That's what we're here to do. We're blind people first. And if you don't take away anything besides the awesome coolness for the technology, do know that we love our community. And we are going to do everything to make the world that we want to be and to share it with everyone else.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Mike. Just great stuff. Terrific stuff. Good luck in the future.
Thank you guys for having us. It's awesome.
Thank you.